Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 62 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. My name is Brian Sippets. Thank you so much for joining us. Today on the show, we've got Dr. Tiffany Jones from X Factor Performance in Columbus, Ohio. And I've had the pleasure of seeing Dr. Jones present a couple times in the last few months here, and really she's got some phenomenal stuff. And we're going to be talking about training the mental skills of your athletes, connecting with your athletes, which I think is something that's overlooked, quite honestly. And, you know, this is stuff that's essential for coaches, so we wanted to talk to Dr. Jones and get you guys this information and let you know the good work that she's doing and share some of the insights she has, including, you know, she talks a little bit about how brains are developing at different rates now, at different paces. So really, if you have an 18-year-old athlete, they may be as young as 12 cognitively. So this is something that's really important and really interesting, and I think you guys are going to get a lot out of this conversation. Before we talk to Dr. Jones, I wanted to update you a little bit. If you haven't been to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com recently, we've got a couple of great new articles up. Daryl Nelson has posted both a mid-season program, so the program he's using with the national team right now, and also a super deadlift bar suitcase carry. So that's the video of the week. Mike Boyle's also got an article up, Rehab, Injury, and the Elite Fast Twitch Athlete. So Mike's going to share some of his experience in that population. I've also put up my adult hockey training program, and so this is just a program that's a little more well-suited to the adult hockey player, which I think is a population that needs a lot of help and is looking for a lot of help. So we've got all that up right now at HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. If you're not a member, you can still go check out the site, and it's just $1 for the first 7 days. I know you're going to like what you see, so after that, you can stick with us for just $14.95 a month, or you can pay for the entire year for just $149, and that's essentially getting 2 months free out of the year. So right now, let's get to our conversation with Dr. Tiff Jones of X Factor Performance. All right, hey everybody, thanks for joining us for episode 62 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Today, for the second time in a row, I get the chance to actually sit down with my guest. I'm really excited about it. Today, we are sitting down with Dr. Tiffany Jones from X Factor Performance. I've had the opportunity to see Tiff speak a couple times here in the last couple weeks about changing the mental game of their athletes, or coaching the mental game of our athletes, which I think is something that we often overlook. But I've been really, really impressed with her presentations, and we're here again presenting at the USA Hockey Level 4 Clinic, so I wanted to see if we could grab Dr. Jones and see if she could tell us a little bit more about how she's coaching the mental game and helping coaches like us coach the mental game. So Dr. Tiffany Jones, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So this is nice to be able to sit down and actually have a face-to-face conversation instead of staring at the microphone. So first of all, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with USA Hockey. Tell us a little bit about your business, where you're from, and who you deal with on a daily basis.
Sure. I currently live in Columbus, Ohio, just moved. If I hear O-H-I-O one more time already. Grew up in Connecticut, went to school in upstate New York, and then did my graduate work at Springfield College in Springfield, Mass., which is heavy sport performance.
Heavy. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Everyone seems to have a connection with Springfield, yes, if you're in the sport performance world. And what I do is I work with professional athletes all the way down to youth athletes or programs, working on the sport and performance psychology end of things. Big combo of X science psychology, which is what Springfield was great about. It wasn't just going to be about psych, but if you're dealing with the mind in terms of performance, you also have to understand how the body is working, and the physiology and the impact that physiology has on the mental, and how the mental has an impact on the physiology. So a lot of what I do is working with coaches, especially at the collegiate level. I'd actually rather work with the younger, because you can have more of an impact in terms of education and teaching, and stop bad habits from happening. But I'm helping, you know, manage pressure, looking at energy zones or mentality zones and how that plays into the biomechanics of sport. And when you're under pressure, what happens to you in terms of, you know, breakdowns that you can see. So a lot of what I do is go to practices, go to strength and conditioning sessions, and, you know, work with the coaches that are working with the athletes on a regular basis, and try to tap into what's going on in their head and how that's affecting their performance.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, it's one of those things, and you and I, we talked about this a little bit earlier, is that side of performance, like the performance psychology side, is something that I think a lot of people want to do, because I think it's a, I think it's somewhere, I know personally, I couldn't string together back-to-back consistent games when I played. Yeah. And I think it's something that, it's one of those things where if you can't, or if it's something you struggle with, you want to learn more about it so that you can teach others. And as a coach, I mean, you're a performance coach.
Yep.
Just like I'm a performance coach, just like a lot of our listeners are a performance coach. It's just that you're looking at it from more of the mental skill side. And I think that's something, like I said, we want to talk a lot about sets and reps and how we're going to monitor and the data that we're gathering. But I think a lot of times we get, we sort of forget about how important the performance side is. Your brain controls everything in your body.
So I think one of the things that's really important about that is how you used to coach even 10 or 15 years ago needs to be different today. And everyone wants to knock the parents and want to say, well, kids are different because parenting is different. And what I think has really changed the game is technology. And so, yes, I mean, we can look and sit and go look at what youth sports is doing to developing or not developing kids in sports, or it's a multi-billion dollar industry now. They're even saying it's about $15 billion industry. Mm. And so what is that doing, or parenting? But my thing is that technology has made everything very instant for kids. It has actually stunted the development of the brain. So when you're dealing and working with an 18 to 22-year-old young woman or young man, they're actually kids. Their prefrontal cortex is actually stunted about 6 years. So when you're dealing with an 18-year-old, they're really brain-wise, brain chemistry-wise, maturity-wise, only about 12 years old. And the prefrontal cortex is the decision-making part of the brain. And everyone's like, well, that sounds like excuses. The thing with psychology that people have to understand is I am not trying to make excuses. It's all about explaining behavior, because if you can explain behavior, you can help change behavior. So, no, I'm never going to give anyone an excuse, but there's also reality, and the reality is 18 to 22-year-olds are really 12 to 16-year-olds. And so I tell college coaches all the time, or performance coaches, if now you're thinking about you're working with a 12 to 16-year-old, how would you coach them differently knowing that? I would think you would coach them different than like 20 years ago when you were dealing with someone from 18 to 22 who was going to be fully mature when they graduated from college.
Right. So it does take a fairly specific set of skills. And I guess, and I think we're realizing more and more now that kids are developmentally younger.
Yeah.
And I think physically, maybe even at the higher levels, physically farther ahead.
Yes.
So we have athletes who are physically ready to tackle this strenuous training and ready to develop power and ready to be serious athletes physically.
Yep.
When mentally we have this disconnect where they're still very immature.
Yeah, as we were just talking about, I was at the Michigan State U18 USA exhibition game yesterday, and some of the gentlemen, the very young, I would, you know, kids as I call them, because they are, I mean, they're huge.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those USA guys who looked, they were all bigger than the Michigan State guys, pretty much. They looked huge, and that's what's deceiving, is they look huge. And so you start to treat them like they're, you know, mid-20s, early 30 guys, and they're not. They're not mentally, even though they look it physically. And so it's a hard thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think as coaches, understanding that is kind of the key to performance and how you coach those kids. Talk to us a little bit. I was really interested. I think the last time I saw you present, you talked about the sport disc and these personality profiles and assessments. And I think as coaches, you know, we're talking to mostly, you know, collegiate and private strength coaches. as coaches, talk to us a little bit about the sport disc, how it can be of benefit to you as a coach, mm-hmm. and how you'd apply that knowledge in a team setting.
Sure. So if you want to right away check this out, if you go to athleteassessments.com, they have a lot of free resources for coaches in all different fields. And they're, Bo Hansen was a three-time Olympic rower from Australia, and he and his wife have started this company, Liz, and it's doing phenomenal. And really what Bo talks about is if you want to get the most out of an athlete, it's all about the coach-athlete relationship. And in order to have a relationship, you have to be able to communicate. Without communication, there is no relationship. And they have created something called the sport disc, or the athlete disc, or the coach disc, which is not a personality assessment. It's a behavioral assessment, because what I love about it is you're one way doesn't mean that's going to give you the excuse to act that way. But we do have a natural style, which is when we're in the heat of the moment and under pressure, this is what typically you're going to see, or what motivates us, or what causes fear in an athlete. And then you're also going to have an adaptive style, meaning you can learn to behave differently under different circumstances. And so what the assessment does is it helps provide the information to a coach or to an athlete about their coach in terms of how to better communicate with them, what are their fears, what motivates them, what kind of teammate are they, and again allows that common language between the coach and the athlete. In the DISC, it's a DISC. You will be all four of those if you took the actual assessment. So you basically rank anywhere between 1 to 100 in each one of those areas, and you get a profile that comes out, and you typically are going to be high in two of those areas. So for instance, I would be a DI as a natural. So I was very domineering, controlling. I was very result oriented. But also I had an I, which was also relationship driven. So I understood that I needed my teammates. I was really high energy, loud, sarcastic a little bit, which is that I. But as a consultant, I'm an ID. So that's my adaptive. So I lead with relationship first and people and being high energy. And I have to have the D, which is very result and competitive. I have to have that take a little bit of a back seat to the I. Mm. I'm the lowest in the S category, which is steadiness. That's patience. Very one-on-one relationship driven. So we'll spend 10 hours listening to someone on my team or something talk about their problems. The difference between an S and I is I've given you like 40 minutes tops and you better sort it out. And an S will sit there for like 10 hours. Yeah. I think the big thing that people laugh about is the C. So C on the profile is someone who is very logical, analytical. They can kind of be on the perfectionist end of things. They want to get it right. So having it be right is more important than winning or getting the result you want. They need it. They're very check-off list kind of people. But what they are is they're also the hypothetical question askers, which drives performance coaches and head coaches of teams absolutely nuts. It's the, well, if a bird fell from the sky, when we're on the field, do you stop and pick up the bird? Do you run around the bird? And all coaches are like, we can't go through every scenario that can happen in the gym, you know, on the field. And especially performance coaches, I'm sure they're the kids that are like, is this right? Is this right? Am I doing it right? Or can we talk about this? And you're like, just do it. Yeah. And those are the C's. And so sometimes it's nice to know this, because you can go up to an athlete who's a C and be like, listen, I know you're a C right now, but we have to move through this drill, this session. You can ask me questions later. But often what we do with C's is we roll our eyes at them. We tell them to be quiet. And if a C is truly a C, they're going to shut down when you do that, because their learning style is to ask questions. But there's also a point when you got to go.
Yeah.
So that is the adaptive piece. You want to teach them how to adapt in that moment.
Well, and you as a coach also are adapting. So it's, you know, each one of those personalities, you, when you understand more about it, you can learn skills and abilities that are going to drive that, or learn how to motivate those athletes. And as a coach, you can be dominant in one area, and that can be your default or your go-to, but I think you have to also be kind of an actor in that you have to be able to switch into, or at least, I guess, identify with those other personalities or those other traits, mm-hmm. and be able to address people in that way.
Mm-hmm. And I find it too. The DIs are very fast paced, so they're go go go. Let's get the information out. We're really transparent and let's just go. Where S's and C's have to take the information in and they really want to sit on it and think about it. And so often when you're a D or an I, you want to work with other DIs because that's easy because they're just like you and they're fast paced. Mm. And the S's and C's, you're like have to be really patient with the S's and C's, but D's eyes aren't patient. So you as a coach, it's your job to have to learn how to have patience with the S's and C's. Or you're not going to connect with them, right. And you're going to be missing a large percentage of your athletes that you work with. So,
yeah, and if you've read Brett Bartholomew's book, Conscious Coaching, there's I don't know, probably 20 archetypes of just general personalities that you're going to encounter as a performance coach or any kind of coach or teacher, mm-hmm. or manager or anybody who deals with other people. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, these archetypes, and he does a nice job of listing what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, and how to connect with these people. So you really do have to be a bit of a chameleon, mm-hmm. as a coach in order to, you know, be steady, but at the same time, you can be one way in speaking with one athlete, and when you turn and talk to the next person, you have to snap into that other way of communicating, I guess.
And your athletes are going to recognize that you because that's the relationship piece, is that you care enough to know what their behavioral style is and that you're willing to adapt a little bit to their behavioral style. And so athletes will do anything for you if you show them that you care about them first as people, and understanding that profile shows them and demonstrates to them that you do care about them as a person first, and then they'll almost do anything for you. And that's that relationship component that Bo and Liz talk about with athlete assessments. So
let's say this is mind-blowing, completely new information, mm-hmm. to coaches. You know that, oh wait, I have to be a different person. I'm not, mm-hmm. just supposed to be my own self. If this is totally new to somebody, what is the best way for a young coach or even a seasoned coach, what's the best way to sort of learn more about this and learn how to apply it in their own facility or with their own teams?
Like I said, I think the athleteassessments.com site is awesome because it gives a lot of free resources. It has a coach philosophy book, the workbook that basically you can download it for free, and it takes you through like your own values, morals, ethics. It kind of takes you through some of the process of you self-reflecting yourself. What are some of your triggers? What are the things that you're already good at? What are the things that you are lacking in? And whatever you're lacking in, it's going to be hard for you to connect with an athlete where that is what are their strengths. And so it helps you guide you through that. The self-reflection piece is the biggest thing. And I know this sounds really touchy-feely. I'm actually not a touchy-feely kind of sports psych person. I'm actually way more like more performance-based. And so I work in the world a lot of ex-science stuff, almost more than the psych stuff. But you know what? You have got to tap in to an athlete, especially today's athlete. They will see through you. So if you say one thing and your behavior is something completely different, or you're Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde all the time, or one day you're like this and the next day you're acting like this, there's no consistency, and you are going to be seen as a fraud, and you're not going to get the most out of your athletes. And so this might be something that feels touchy-feely. It might be something that you're like, this is totally foreign. It's uncomfortable. Just like you want your athletes to be uncomfortable so that they grow, and you know you have to be uncomfortable to get better, you as coaches need to be uncomfortable. And having to look at yourself in the mirror and self-reflect, it's one of the most vulnerable vulnerable and scary things you can do, and uncomfortable things you can do for a lot of us. And it's, if you don't know yourself and you don't know who you are, and how the heck are you going to understand who your athletes are, or who the coaches, the other head coaches you work with, or your teams? And honestly, you all, especially as performance coaches, tend to have more access to the athletes than anyone, and athletes might be more vulnerable with you because you're breaking down them down physically, which then it makes it challenging for them to cover up any emotional emotional things that they're struggling with. So you sometimes see the athletes in the most raw form. And so for me, you've got to have this. Or you're a fraud, in a sense. Like, you can't just want to work the body and not understand yourself and understand the mind of an athlete.
Yeah, and there's so much. I mean, basically any new reading that you do now talks a lot about it's not the dictatorship. It's not that way anymore. It is you absolutely have to gain the trust and the respect of your athletes and a genuine feeling of connection with your athletes and that's what's going to allow you to get the most performance out of them.
Yes.
I think it's really hard, at least personally, it's hard to do those assessments because I might feel one way at one time and another way at a different time. Mm-hmm. Is there any sort of like, I don't know, is there a good person you should go to or a, I don't know, some kind of resource that helps you with the reflection? Mm-hmm. You know, I think it, you might think you're at base level. You might think you're thinking at bedrock and you're like, this is me, this is who I am. But how do you know? How do you know that you're really getting to the root of who you are?
Right. I think it's talking to certain people in your life and it's, I call them not necessarily mentors, but mavens, which is different. Mavens is someone who will tell you the absolute truth about yourself, even though you might not want to talk to them then for, they love you so much and they know you so well that they're willing to tell you that authentic truth, even though they know it could crush you or that you may not want to talk to them. Not everyone has Maven in their life, because you have to be really vulnerable with someone to have someone like that in your life. Again, like doing the things, the free resources that are on Bo and Liz's site, they really help take you through that process. Susan Scott's book called Fierce Conversations, in order to have a hard conversation with someone, it's all about relationships. And in order to have a relationship with someone, you have to be know who you are. So she takes you through some exercises. One thing I do like about the DISC profile is that's where it does have a natural and adaptive. So where you're like, well, I feel like this and want this case, and I feel it takes you through that with the questions. And there's no right or wrong profile for the DISC. And so I think some people are like, well, I want it. You can game, so to speak, some assessments. This assessment, there is no right or wrong. We're not looking for one thing or the other thing. And what it does is it does put you in different scenarios and does take you through that. That's why you have two different scores. You have your adaptive score and your natural score, because some of us do feel like, well, I'm like this in this way and I'm like this here. Yes, you are. Because one way is probably where you feel under pressure and stress, and the other one is where you can kind of sit back a little, take a breath, and can act in this way. That's why we have different behavioral styles. How you act with me right here talking is different than when you go home for the holidays and you're around your family versus around your friends from college versus your teammates, right? We all have a little bit of a different style when we're with different groups. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it's great. And I think the take home here for the listeners, for the coaches, as you know thyself, number one. And that's going to lead you to a really genuine connection, as long as you understand that other people aren't like you. It's good for your business. It's good for the performance of your athletes, and just overall having a connection with people. So, I think we'll wrap it there. But this has been awesome. Is there anything that you're working on right now, or how can people get in touch with you? How can people learn more about what you do?
Sure, you can go to my website at www.xfactorperformance.com. I have all my contact information there. My updated bio will be up right at the beginning of the new year. I've been working with a lot of really top-level teams. University of Florida volleyball was just in the national championship last night. Unfortunately, they lost to Nebraska, but I'm very proud of them. And the coaching staff is phenomenal, and their strength coach is one of the best, I think, in the entire country. I think if you do that and you have any questions, I do one-on-one training with coaches as well. So if that's something that is appealing, I'm willing to work with all different kinds of budgets. That's kind of the things I'm doing.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Tiffany Jones, joining us here. And we really appreciate your time and thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to wrap up episode 62 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thank you so much to Dr. Tiff Jones for joining me. There's tons of awesome information there, and she is an unbelievable resource. So please, if you are interested in this, if you think you need some work on this, if it's something that you can develop as a coach, please feel free to reach out to Dr. Jones. She can be an incredible asset for you. So thank you so much for listening. Make sure you head to hockeystrengthandconditioning.com. Check out the latest articles, webinars, podcasts, and training programs, all dedicated to the training of hockey players. Until next time, guys, be sure to train smart and check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com, the world's greatest resource for training hockey players. We'll talk to you soon.